morning, church. Good morning. So good to be back here with you. My husband and I, we just came back from Ukraine. I also send greetings for Mama Heidi. Yes, do you know Mama Heidi? Of course, right? This is Cornerstone. Yeah, I just want to thank Pastor Young for inviting us to share. Most of our times are in the field, and we are just honored to be back here to share what God is doing in the nation. Yeah, thank Pastor Young for all his encouragement and prayer. Yeah. Likewise, today, I would like to say that today I'm not sharing. The Holy Spirit is going to share. What do we have to share, actually? You know, one word from the Lord is better than 1,000 words from humans. Amen? So I'd like to pray, and I invite you, come, let's invite the Holy Spirit. If he touches us and if he speaks to us, we're good, right? We didn't come to hear men speak. We came for the Lord. So let's join us, Lord, and open our hearts as we welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Father, we thank you for this day. You are all that we need. We say, come and speak to us. You are most welcome in this room, most importantly in our hearts. Father, I just say that we are hungry for you. We need a touch from you. Come touch us, fill us, that we'll never be the same again. Come lean in, church, lean in, lean in. Are you hungry for him? Are you hungry for him? He's a good father. The good father feeds his children. If you're hungry for more, he's going to feed you. So, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you. You are here in our midst. I can feel his presence here. If he's here, we're good. Lord, do whatever you want, whatever you will. Manifest of yourself, we ask, Lord. You are all that we need. And we want so much more of you. We're not satisfied without you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Yeah. My husband and I, we are Singaporeans. I would like to share that because many a times after we share, people will say they are surely not Singaporeans. Singaporeans don't do such thing. So I just want to have a disclaimer. I'm born in Singapore. My parents are Singapore. I finished my education here. We're fully Singaporean. My husband is Singaporean too. Yes. And why would the Lord use us for such a time as this? It's only the Lord. And he loves to use ordinary people. And particularly from a small country, in every way we qualify because we are so ordinary. So my husband is an architect. Yeah, our background, he's an architect in Singapore, and I'm a business person. 13 years ago, we were doing so well in our lives and our career. You know, my husband, if you are familiar with Jurong East Mall, Next Mall, Changi Airport Terminal 4, many hotels and schools in Singapore, and that's just Singapore. Many, many things. He's excellent, he's wonderful, he's so good at what he does, and we were not burnt out. But we ask ourselves, could there be more? After building another building, and then what's next? Sure, I want award, remuneration, satisfaction, great. But could there be more? Because all these, however good it is, it's still temporary. Only heaven is eternal. And we felt compelled by the Lord, there is more, but we need to step out. So we did something very unusual, but it's not because we were burnt out, but we said we really need, it's, we want to give God the best of our lives. And so we decide to go to Mozambique. So in Mozambique, if you have heard of Mozambique, I'm sure, yeah, some places I go, they're like, what's that? Africa, the continent of Africa has 54 countries. Mozambique is one of the poorest of the poor. You know, Mama Heidi serves there. So we bought one-way ticket. We went for a mission training school. It's called Harvest School. And, you know, 13 years ago, we're adults, we're good, you know. But I tell you, we were shocked at some things. You know, we were stoned. Then I asked Mama Heidi, this is stoning. People stoned, they kill you. They want to kill you. You know, many a times, we didn't shower for weeks because there's no water. You know, when I wake up in the morning, there is scorpions on my bed and rats bite my feet all night. It was so hard. Sometimes secretly I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. But no, despite the physical circumstances, I tell you, God is doing something deeper. And I said, I came for more. I came for more. And there are so many miracles and testimonies. Just look at Mama Heidi, you can imagine. But I just want to share one simple one that forever changed our lives. Every day, you know, God teaches us through what we see. More is caught than taught when you step out. You know, I remember people ask, what do you do for missions? Oh, I tell you, 80% you serve. 20% you hold a mic and preach the gospel. Preaching is not the most difficult thing, but to serve. You know, I remember my duty that day was to feed and cook and feed. So me and pastor, I said, pastor, how many people are coming? 800. You must know, these people have not eaten for days. When they hear food, they will come. And I said, okay, how much food do we have? They said, one bag of rice, one bag of beans. I said, Like not enough, you know? 50 people maximum. Then he says, yeah, that's all we have. We have nothing, just this is all we have, and we'll depend a lot. I said, hey, I'm from Singapore. We plan things, you know? You know? Don't laugh, you guys are so safe, okay? I said, in Singapore, we plan, you know, 50, then you invite 50. If not, Jesus will not look so good. And then they said, oh, where are you from? Singapore? I said, yeah, you know, I serve in Singapore. It's like this, we must plan properly. And then he says, but that's all we have. And I went on. And then he got angry. He threw the ladle and he says, stop it. Because Jesus died, there will always be enough. I said, I know. But how? How? Then he looked at me, sister, if you have no faith, you pray for us, okay? Your role is to pray. You stand under that tree and pray for us. Then I realized it means get lost. And I was under that tree. I said, terrible. These people, terrible. I'm trying to teach them. You know, and then I came back. I said, pastor, maybe my dinner feeds someone else. He says, no need. Stand under that tree further away. Oh, so angry. Okay, never mind. I came and I said, okay, I will count and prove to him he's wrong. I'm right. Oops, so proud, right? People started coming. And you know, he was feeding them generously. You must know they're hungry. And I said, hey, one person, 3 spoons, right? Maybe you can feed 20 more. He says, Singaporeans serve like this sometimes, you know? And then he says, no, Jesus feed generously. We will feed generously. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll prove to you. So I started to count, okay? 50 people, 80, 100, 200, 500, 600, 700, 800. And I was so shocked. The people just ate happily. They have not eaten for days. They're happy. And the pastor looked at me, and I look into the pot. The pot is still full. And he says, I said, wow. Then he says, so, do you want your dinner? I said, what happened? What happened? He says, it always happened. We have only Jesus. If Jesus does not show up, we're dead. We just trust him. He's all we have. All we have. I went back and I think deeply, you know. We think we know a lot. But when I read in the Bible, I believe, I thought, but when it happens, who's the stumbling block? Me. And I repent before the Lord. But every day when we see the blind eyes get healed, we see, you know, the deaf could hear, the broken legs could walk, many miracles, you know. And I came back to Singapore and I was undone. And I said, Lord, what do you want? Do you want me to go back to marketplace, or do you want me to go full-time? I'm ready. You say the word. We waited on the Lord, and the Lord told us, you know, just love him. It's not even about missions, not even about nations or revival, although all these are great. Love him. You love him. You love him. And out of these, you know, you would know what to do. And some people ask me, why do you support Ukraine? Why not Russia? You know, if the Lord asked me to go to Russia, I want to. It's really not about the nations, but it's about the Lord. You know, and so we sold everything we have and we gave away things that we don't need anymore. It's not that I'm great, but we came back a different perspective. We don't love, these things in the world don't matter to us anymore. Having seen so much of what God is doing, these things back in Singapore don't satisfy us anymore. And so we set up our own practice called Genesis Architects. And a lot of our project is to do missions work in the nations. So, yeah, praise be to God. We have works in Amazon jungle. Some people say they also go to Amazon. Then I realized they meant Amazon.com. Different. Okay, and of course in Rwanda, Mozambique, Congo, Uganda, and Central Asia. It's beyond us. Beyond us. Look into our pockets. Look at us. It's beyond us. But God is going to use people who's willing to give their little lives to the Lord. Watch what he will do. Watch what he will do. Praise the Lord. I know that, 24th of February, just last month, few weeks ago, Ukraine and Russia war, 4 years already, in the blink of an eye. And the war is still happening. People ask, what's happening? I was there, minus 20 degrees. I was at the front lines, underground in a bunker, minus 25 degrees. People are suffering, not from bombs, but cold, hopelessness. Yeah, and I would like to play a little video. It's from Singapore's Zao Bao. Okay, it's in Mandarin with subtitles. This video has been a few years ago, but I particularly love this video because the reporters are not my friends. Neither are they Christians. But from their perspective, you know, they watch people rise up and be salt and light, and they put on the little video. So if you cannot go to Ukraine, I invite you to take a look. Thank you.
Oops, you can hear the rockets. This village is devastated, but there are still people living here. We're here to deliver heaters and stove. This is like a lighthouse, and people are gathering here with hope and love, and they are sending their greetings to you. Hello. We are in a house right now that has been shelled out, so this is how it is now.
林宝燕早在去年4月 俄乌战争爆发两个月后，就和一群朋友远赴德国帮助乌克兰难民，跟难民一起生活了一个月，让他更加深切体会到难民的无助。那么一个月过后呢，我感觉啊，真的吗？我要回到新加坡吗？回到我的日常生活吗？我还能不能够做些什么帮助他们吗？那我就决定，我们就要去乌克兰。 我去的时候是5月份了，那么当时我进入乌克兰的时候呢，我看到好多老人家，还有残缺人士。我就去一个地方叫布查，还有其他的村子，像Mosul，还有Erpin，这些地方呢，85%的房子呢都已经被炸完了，剩下15%呢，不是说没被炸，没有屋顶啊，没有门啊，没有墙啊，但是呢，好多人都在里面挤着。我就觉得， 哇天哪，这些人怎么能够住下去呢？好多老人家他们都在和他们的鸡啊、猪啊一起住啊，现在好惨啊，还有好差的一个环境，他们非常难过，非常低落，好多他们的丈夫、他们的孩子、他们的亲戚都在战争里已经牺牲了。 Rudy还有我呢，我们是设计建筑师的公司创办人，那么我们是设计建筑屋子的，那么我们就 instinctively 就是说就一定要建屋子啊，不然他们去哪里住啊？他们说战争可能不会让他们失去生命，可能冬天的苦可以让他们失去生命了，那么我们就说那我们来设计建筑一个很适合的房间给他们吧。
在新加坡经营建筑设计公司的夫妻俩回国后，先是创立了援助团体“爱在乌克兰”，再用自己的专长着手为乌克兰设计房子。3个月后，夫妻俩带着设计好的蓝图重回乌克兰。因为好多专业人士已经离开了，大约有800万个。 乌克兰人已经离开乌克关了，因为打仗的问题嘛，设计建筑师好多也离开了，所以我们就只能够带我们自己的知识来带领这群乌克兰人来帮忙我们建。夫妻俩找到乌克兰境内侥幸躲过炮火的工厂，采用当地现成的松木原材料。 好不容易才把每间临时住房的建筑成本从23,000欧元大幅降低到4,000欧元，同时确保住房具备基本品质，那就是冬天能御寒，也能在炮弹的余震中足够稳固，不轻易坍塌。Thank
you。每一个收到我们房子的人呢，都非常感动，好多都说你从那么远的地方来。
那你的眼睛那么小，你又是黄皮肤的，可是你的心好大。
几乎每一个都会流眼泪，因为我们是毫无条件的给他们，我们没有说哦，我给了你，你要给我租金啊，你要还给我呀，你要帮我做这些，没有，毫无条件的给他们，所以他们就非常感动。因为你想想，当你遇到这个困难的时候，你隔夜间什么都没有，家人也不在了，生活非常的低落，那突然间有一群外国人会来给你一个屋子，是等于给你一个希望，所以好多都会拥抱我们，拥抱我们说真的谢谢你。
夫妻俩原本计划在冬天来临前赶建500间临时住房，却因为冬季电能供应不足而延误了进度，截至去年底只建成了400间。由于乌克兰60%的电能已被炸毁，电能供应严重短缺，不止处处漆黑一片，医疗设备也没法充电，造成致命风险。
Hi, I'm in Kiev now. It's snowing. It's -7 degrees, I think, and there is no electricity. So I have to rely on this solar lamp to be able to find my way around. This is really a blessing.
为此，夫妻俩发起了另一项灯塔计划，从欧洲甚至亚洲各地四处搜购发电机，带到乌克兰各个教会、孤儿院、医院等一共80个据点，发动电能，为人们提供照明、暖气、卫星网络，一顿餐食，一碗热汤。
你知道，哇，在黑暗中他们有灯光，大家都会来，所以好多最无助的人，老人呢、啊病人呢、啊，他们都来充电，好多好多天都没吃东西了，但是来了我们的地方，他们起码有一餐能够度过。所以呢，每一个地方我们帮到200个人，有80个地点，每一天我们都能够帮到16000个人。
在乌克兰做的这些事全需要经费，夫妻俩最初只是透过身边的亲戚朋友筹款。消息传开后，海内外善心人士和慈善团体纷纷主动提供资助，如新加坡红十字会就参与资助临时住房、发电机，以及为单亲妈妈提供生活物资。
这些单亲妈妈非常的可怜，因为你想想，隔夜间屋子没了，丈夫没了，怀着孕，她们非常非常的慌，也不知道怎么做，已经是8个月、9个月有身孕，那么他们正在要去堕胎，我都照顾不了自己，我怎么能够照顾我的宝宝？那么我们说，如果是吃的吗？我们来帮帮你好吗？12月份我回去的时候，我好感动，因为我看到好多宝宝，他们现在已经3个月大了，他们原本呢是要不可能在这个世上的，但是有爱心人士来帮助他们，他们现在在这个世上。那些单亲妈妈都和我说，感谢你们当时和我说，让我改变我的主意，因为现在宝宝是给他们活下去的希望。
受访当天，夫妻俩正在为9个月内第4次走进乌克兰做准备，将收到的冬装分类打包带给难民。不过在那之前，两人还会先飞往泰国一趟，进购功效更强的发电机，一并送往乌克兰。如此风尘仆仆，反复投身漫天烽火间，他们当真坦然无惧吗？
每一次去乌克兰，直到现在还是会有点惧怕。每一次呢，我们去的时候呢，要和家人说告别，因为不知道会不会回来。这是很真实的，因为你不知道会不会回来，或者是会不会完整的回来，对吧？我们每次去之前，我们就把我们的遗嘱写好了，万一有发生什么事情呢，家人都知道，我们把这里的事情都已经安排好了，那么我们也写了好多封信，如果万一回不来呢，就是我们的告别信来的。其实，但是我觉得这个是个使命，而且是我们两夫妻决定，我们一定不能够去一次两次，能够帮得多就帮得多，小小的团队能够帮着几千个人，所以我们不是冲动的去，我们都是有谈好，有说好。 但是还是决定一定要在这个乌克兰最困难的时候去帮助他们。
Сердечно благодарим вас.
Really, thank you.
Что вы не забываете нас.
That you don't forget about us.
Что вы молитесь за нас.
That you are praying for us.
И участвуете в нашей жизни.
And you are influencing our life.
Благодарим за этот прекрасный генератор.
Thank you for this nice generator.
И за продукты питания, которые мы сегодня получим.
For the food that we have now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You know, this video is about 3 years ago. By now, only the Lord is able to use just us ordinary people. You know, we have finished more than 535 houses, giving away to widows, elderly people with disability. And we also, have got, more than 2,000 babies have been born now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Next. Okay. You know, I would like to share with you, you know, that out of all these testimonies, you know, actually, when I was in Germany, I felt the Lord called me for Ukraine, but we do not have a visa. You know, I called home, they said, you need a visa. I said, Singapore's passport is number one in this world, you know. You don't bluff me. I thought my family don't want me to go, but I called the embassy, they said, it's impossible, we're not giving it to you, it's wartime. But I felt so compelled. I heard the Lord told me. By faith, I drove from Germany to Ukraine's border, 21 hours. No friends, no plans, no visa, no petrol. So I just wanted to be obedient. It's not about entering, but about showing up. When I was there, millions of people were running out. I'm Asian, could not speak a word of Ukrainian. They gave me a stamp, welcome to Ukraine. So I knew that there's an assignment, and God is looking for people like that, who will not go according to our own understanding, but to trust the Lord and show up. And then the rest is history. You know, so there are many testimonies, but I would like to share with you some challenges, if it's all right, okay? Yeah. 2 years ago, some things I didn't do so well. I share with you so that you please do better than me, all right? 2 years ago, I was doing evacuation work from the front lines, picking people up, you know, to safe places. And at night, I prayed and I said, God, are you proud of me? Today, I evacuated 247 people, you know? But if you sit before the Lord, and he was rebuking me and I had a vision, you know why? When I was at the front lines with so many landmines, I only choose to pick people who could run, who could take instructions. I left behind people who are mentally challenged. And I left people, you know, wheelchairs have been bombed. Handicapped people are crawling everywhere. And in my own little mind, I said, no. I will only take people who can run. So I literally said, not you. Let's go. And the Lord told me, I told you, you're there for the most broken ones. Who are you to decide who is of value, who is not of value? I repented deeply before the Lord. Deeply, Lord, it's really not about numbers. And the next day I went back. I could only pick 72. You know, I dragged them up my bus, and when I drive, I don't even know where to go. But you just do what God tells you to do. You know, and when I did that, you know, I was so lost actually, because I do not know where to go. But praise be to God, now we have a shelter for 500 of such people. Yeah, if I welcome you to come, it's one of the places that's the Lord's delight and presence is there. Amen. Now, that's 2 years ago. Now, 4 years. Now, when I go to the front lines, I see dead bodies. And I said, Lord, no more handicapped people or people anymore. They're all dead bodies. There's nothing to do. There's no more gospel that I can preach anymore. But no, if you listen to the Holy Spirit in the midst of darkness and death, you are the one. The people of God with God's life and light. You are the one. And I personally know hundreds of families who are waiting for their husbands, their sons, their fathers to come home, dead or alive. And because they are busy with war, they would not do that, right? And I said, I will pick the dead bodies back. And they said, are you sure? It's very dirty work. And I said, it's okay, we are here to serve. Now, if you have a full body, it's a good day because explosion, people die from explosions. They do DNA tests. I pick an arm, a leg, or body parts. I put them in the body bag. Sometimes the body falls out and I have to put it back again. You know, the smell of death is in your skin and you cannot shower and wash it away. Everything that we wear, our shoes, we have to throw away because you cannot wash away the blood. In the midst of such difficulty, we send the body back. When I pass the body back to the family, we cry with them. Sharing the gospel is like that too. We cry with them. And after that, they always ask me, why did you do that for us? You're a foreigner. And I always say, I came to serve. Jesus sent me to serve. I'll get a chance to run funerals. And then every time you run a funeral, the whole village would come. And it's very sobering. They know they might be next. And I tell you, we do an evangelistic call. Everyone will receive Jesus. These days, with wars going around, missions is about showing up, demonstrating the love of God in unconventional ways. But who would go? Who would go? Yeah. This is some pictures, you know, of the handicapped people we picked up and some of the funerals we run. So I would like to share with you some challenges. In Ukraine, they love me because we do so much. They gave me a Ukrainian name. It's called Yana. Yana means God is gracious. They said, God is gracious. They send you to us. Everywhere in Ukraine, we have homes. We have families there now, you know. But there's one day I was at a battalion. You know, my husband was in another battalion sharing, and I was in one battalion sharing. There were supposed to be 400 people, but that day there was only 127 people. It's okay, but when I walked in, they were very angry with me. They shouted vulgarities, and they said, get lost, get lost. Why did you come? What good news is this? Get lost. And I said, Pastor, why did they? What happened? Why do these people hate me so much? They said, please forgive them. 400, now only left 120. The rest have died. They know their time is soon too. And I wanted to leave too, you know, because it was so intense. But I heard the Lord told me, Bao Yan, if you love, you will have the authority. If you love, you will have the authority. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. There's nothing I know to do. But I'm here. If you vent your anger at me, it makes you feel better. I'm here. Okay? God loves you. He did not forget about you. Now I know people with trauma and going through war, you know, you ask them to vent their anger. It's not about shouting or banging table. They said, they come up to me one by 120 men. And they said, you said we can vent our anger at you. You know how much we hate our enemy? They spit at me. They threw things at me. And they hit me. You can only imagine. I could barely speak. Barely speak. But I know preaching the gospel is not about my eloquency. And then the pastors cry out, how could you do that? She come from so far away, from Singapore, your family. They said it's too far, too dangerous to come for the front lines. For 3 over years, they don't even come. How could you do that to her? They come from Singapore to help. Really, the presence of the Lord filled that place. And they say, it's true. I come from, it's true. My family don't even want to come. What's so important? What do you want to say? If you love, you have the authority. And I said, I come from a very far away place. It's true. You know, but Jesus came from heaven to earth way further than me to set you free. If you receive him, you shall have eternal life. And they said, are you sure? We attack people, you know, we cannot sleep at night. And I said, only the blood of Jesus washes away your sin. It's the presence of the Lord that fills that place, convict them of their sin and their need for the Lord. They said, please give us Jesus. Please give us Jesus. And they all received Jesus. Praise the Lord. Next. A few months later, they said, Bao Yan, come. I open another battalion for you to share. Then I said, okay, I go. Little did I know. When I went, they actually wanted to give me an award. And I say, we are Christians. If we take award now, next time in heaven, no more award. And then they say, oh, we are new Christians. We don't know. Sorry. You know. But when I look at the award, the last line, it says, we want to learn how to follow Jesus just as how you have demonstrated to show us. My friends, sharing the gospel is with your life. It's not about how eloquent you are, but it's with your life. And I truly live for one day, my true award, when I see him face to face, can he say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah, don't feel sorry for me that I was injured, because you know how I feel? I share with you. Every beating that I got, every spit that I received, you know how I feel? I see Jesus on the cross. It makes me love him more. And that I get the honor to share in his suffering. I truly understand how he felt when he was on the cross, with one mind to set us free. Amen. Amen. I would like to share a testimony with you. I promise God, you know, to do this because he saved my life. And also some people say, Bao Yan, how do we go on missions? many ways, you know. One day, I was at the trenches. For those of you who were trained by army in the trenches, right? Yeah, I was at the trenches too. And there I was feeling horrible. I felt very sick. I was missing home, missed family, missed my mom, missed hot food. And I was in the trenches sharing with weary soldiers, you know. And our phones have to be put far away because of sensitivity of location. Nobody would know if we are dead or alive. Sometimes when you serve the Lord, it's like that. And we're ready to do that. Suddenly, I saw a drone coming my way. This drone, military drones, if they hit a building, the building is destroyed. I saw a drone coming my way. It's double my height, double my width, right? I know for that day, it's gone, gone. There's no way I could. And I don't know what to say anymore. And I tell the soldiers, call Jesus. Call Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord. We shall be saved. Call Jesus. All of them called, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Suddenly, I've never seen this. I've never seen this. I've never seen birds. I only see crows who ate dead bodies. But suddenly, I saw a group of doves surrounded the drone, and it took it down, and it exploded. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These doves, God didn't use eagles, sparrows, or swallows. He used doves so that you and I know it is a representation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I know. I went on my knees and I just thanked the Lord, you know. And all the soldiers ran to me. They said, they know better than me because their friends died from drones every day. They know better than me. And they said, who is Jesus? Some even said, what is Jesus? Can you believe it? There are people who have never heard of the name Jesus. Who is Jesus? That when we call him, he will save us. Who is that? And I tell them, Jesus came to set you free. You know, don't waste another day. You do not know if tomorrow is coming. Where would you go after that? Follow Jesus. Of course, they all receive Jesus. Amen. Amen. A few hours later, I could quickly grab my phone and I wanted to call home and share with my family. I received a text. My friend says, my pastor friend says, Pao Yan, I do not know where you are, what you are doing. And you don't have to reply us, but I just want you to know we feel grip in our heart that we need to pray for you now. Please take care. The timestamp of their intercession for us is the same time when the drone attacked us. When you go with us, you pray with us. When you pray with us, you're going with us. Intercession is so important. It's not about bravery or, you know, trying to be a hero, but when you go with us, by praying with us, amen. Some people ask, what else? I'm not here to do fundraising. We trust the Lord. We have seen him provide for us again and again. And I see Cornerstone. Winnie's my dear friend. Great initiative. But when you give, you know, you're going with missionaries too. You know, I tell you, humanitarian. We are humanitarian, maybe, they call us, okay? There are many humanitarian in Ukraine too. But you know what? They will not give away Bibles. We're missionaries. We would give Bibles because we believe the word of God will not return void. You know, children cannot sleep at night because of the trauma. When they receive our Bibles, they said it's like their father reading to them every night. Only the word of God can comfort them. A Ukrainian soldier took my Bible, an audio Bible, and he died at the front lines. When a soldier dies, people ransacked to see anything if they could take. A Russian soldier came along the way and he took the Bible, he listened to it. At the back of my Bible, it says, you know, if you want to receive Jesus, please call. The Russian soldier called the Ukrainian pastor. He says, I want to follow Jesus. Can you lead me? Look, the word of God will never return void. So, apart from all the humanitarian work we do, we know we are very clear that we need to send the word of God. We need to preach the gospel. Only the gospel can release true peace and salvation. Amen. But one day, we empty of ourselves and we buy so many Bibles. People are crying out for Bibles. You know, and one day they said, Pao Yan, there are some people underground. Quickly, let's go find them. I opened the underground bunker. There are so many children. They're hungry. They've been hiding there. You know what are they eating? They tear textbooks and they eat textbook paper. I've seen a building crumble. Mothers wrapping their children. The mother died and the baby is still trying to find milk. They are so hungry. But we emptied of ourselves. We bought so many Bibles. But love looks like something. To a hungry child, love looks like a piece of bread. But absolutely, it was such a difficult decision. They said, how? Bread or Bible? Bread or Bible? And we finally decided Bible. Let them hope for themselves. But I, when I give the Bible, I went back and I had a big cry because how is it that we, how is it, the most difficult thing is how is it that we can not even have enough for a piece of bread for children? How is it? Lord, how is it? Suddenly my friend would text me and say, Pao Yan, our cell group's praying, we have a vision that we would, that you are feeding little children. Do you have enough? Can we give you money to buy food? Look, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Some people go with us as they give, right? I'm not fundraising, but give to your church. Doing such a great job. Winnie's my good friend. I've seen her done great things, you know. Yeah. Amen. Finally, God is lacking workers. The workers are few. We are working so hard, you know. And we said, wow, really, truly only Jesus way, multiplication. You know, workers are few. It doesn't, you don't need, you know, I can have so many testimonies to tell you. 80, 90 years old grandmother, they would come, you know, and serve, knitting scarves, praying over each one. Nobody's too old, nobody's too young, nobody's too useless for the Lord. Amen. We have a mission school. The mission school that I went 13 years ago, till today the fire burns. And this school is now coming to Singapore this year in June. I'm also not, we are not promoting the school because we are running out of obedience. You know, we're running, you know, bilingual school. And if you want to be trained, Mama is an Irish Harvard school. Mama Heidi sends her regard and he says, Asia is calling. Asia is calling. Asian ego arise. Yeah. If anybody would like to be trained, I welcome you to come. Truly, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Truly. Cornerstone, I love you dearly. I do not take for granted that I will come back again to share with you. But if I have one final word to tell you, is that Jesus is coming back. You know, second time when I went back to Ukraine, I prepared money and I prepared my drawings. But at the borders, they said, crazy, you have no visa, you're not going in. I said, first time I can, why now cannot? First time I can, why now cannot? This girl quarreled with them for 6 hours. And still they did not let me in. I went back, drive 4 hours back to Poland. I said, Lord, where did I go wrong? Now I'm ready, you know. I have to build. I should have missed the first time. And the Lord said to me, first time you trust me, second time you trust in your own effort, your own drawings, your own money. I repent and I said, Lord, I will consider my assignment done, even though I don't understand. The next day I drove back with a surrendered attitude. And then they said, this is the last time you do this. Finish what you need to do, you don't come back. When somebody tells you it's the last time, you are very serious. So when I got in, I said, I'll take it. Where is the most broken people? They said, front lines. That's why we serve at the front lines. Giving away houses, planting churches, giving away, feeding people. And then the governor heard about this and wanted to meet me. Suspicious of me. Sometimes you do good and you get suspected. And I said, I'm sorry, governor, I don't even have time for you. I've got a lot of houses to build. He says, why are you such a rush? Are you a spy? What motive do you have? We're running a war. We're having a war, you know? And I said, hey, this is my last time. I cannot come back anymore. After he looked at our work, he says, you are rebuilding our country. We need to give you the residency status. This is how I know I'm a permanent resident today. And we have work to do and there's work to be continued. Yeah, Cornerstone. Then we come back, we said, this is the last window. Jesus is coming back. How are we living our lives? How are we living our lives? One final one, okay? At the front lines, my husband and I was at underground bunk. And then the pastor told me, when you are up, run. Run. Because the drone can detect you and you will be attacked. Run. My husband and I don't like to exercise. We always run last, you know. I said, oh no, Rudy, we have to run. You run, run, don't let them drag you, run, run, run. And we ran and we ran, you know, and we are first. I said, wow, if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will help you to run. We run, but friends, actually we run the wrong direction. That's why we are first, you know. But nobody would call you because it's too dangerous. We ran and we ran. We ran and we ran. Everybody run this way, we run this way, and we think we are very great at first. And then my point is this. Direction is more important than speed. Yeah, so we change direction and we are last, but still make it safely. Praise the Lord. Cornerstone, you know, 2026 is already March. Let's set your heart and your life right. Run the right direction. Even if it's wrong, it's not too late. So long, when you see him face to face, may he say, well done, my good and faithful servant of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.